You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a cracking card at Sandown on Thursday evening. We've got four pattern races to come on this edition of the podcast. And there's plenty of other action elsewhere on Thursday. Haydock, Chelmsford, Bangor, Newcastle and Tipperary all in action. And you'll hear every race live and in full from 1:40pm with Natalie Carey, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount in the studio. But right now, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Sam. And you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good.
For the first time in months, it's a good day to be a Newcastle United fan, Craig.
Thanks, Sam. Some good news today. Finally confirmed that Rafa Benitez
yes.
is staying. So we will start the day on a high note, Sam.
Yeah.
So some welcome good news on Tyneside.
Indeed, certainly is. And in terms of the equine action as well, Craig, we've been given another little insight into the derby over the last couple of days. We had, of course, Breakfast with the Stars yesterday at Epsom, a chance to see Wings of Desire and Cloth of Stars both strut their stuff on the race course. But all the talk over the last few days has been for Sir Michael Stout's runner, Ulysses, has been hammered in the betting, as big as 16-1 last week, now 8-1 with us here. It's halved in price, and Sir Michael's given it the talk up as well, and he'd be a trainer that you'd be more inclined to pay attention to when he gives a good word for his horses. It's not like an Aidan O'Brien where every horse he seems to train is very much the next coming. He doesn't, to my recollection, give the talk up to too many horses, Sir Michael Stout.
Yeah, definitely, and I think we'll have to take on board the bold statements that have been made over the last week or so regarding the Son of Galileo. He had one start as a juvenile. Obviously, you know, the form of the Newbury race where he finished sixth and has had many boosts. Algometer was the winner that day, and there's been several horses that finished in behind that have come out and franked that form. Making his reappearance in a maiden at Leicester, finishing second. And then at Newbury last time, he just oozed class the way he went through the race. Travelled really strongly. And he eased clear to win by 8 lengths under Ryan Moore. He wasn't fully extended to win on that occasion. The time of the race wasn't great. I mean, you know, looking, he was only basically half a second quicker than the Class 5 handicap run over the same course and distance on the card. So, you know, in terms of trying to measure his performance on the clock, he's obviously got to find a fair bit of improvement on the bare form from that. And it's a major step up from winning a maiden, albeit a good Newbury maiden, to going in to contest the Classic, the Derby at Epsom. So whether he can bridge the gap from maiden company to a Derby in one step remains to be seen, but he is in the right hands, for sure.
Is this flood of money for him perhaps a reaction to people having question marks about a lot of the other protagonists in the betting, and they're sort of looking for something to clutch onto, because the likes of US Army Ranger, Wings of Desire, Cloth of Stars, there's all question marks about pretty much everyone going for the Derby this year. Are people keen to clutch hold of something?
Yeah, I think where we are, Sam, is we don't have any horses with one standout piece of form that sets the benchmark. We've got horses that have all achieved a fair level of form and are all still open to improvement. It's trying to guess which one of those horses is going to find the most improvement on the day of the Derby and go on to win. And I think, you know, like you said, there's 5, 6, 7 possibilities that are all in, you know, in that group of horses that have potential to go on and improve what they've done on the track so far. And he's definitely one of those. So it's wide open. It really is. It's a wide open race. I haven't gone into it in too much depth at this stage, but you know, it's probably a race. Despite probably going to bet 4 or 5 the field on the day, I probably won't be having a bet because of the, you know, the guesswork involved in trying to solve the puzzle of which one's going to improve the most.
Yeah, certainly. So, speaking of standout bits of form, we saw a Japanese horse yesterday possibly put in a standout piece of form for the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot. The horse in question, Ashin Hikari, absolutely decimated the field over in Shanti. You'll be forgiven, Craig, for not knowing too much about the about the Japanese Raiders' in-depth form, but just visually on that performance yesterday, looked like some tool, that horse.
Yeah, our colleague Darren Owen was filling me in on the form last night after the race, and he was very, very bullish. You know, he's
right.
He thought it was a fantastic performance. He was even thinking, you know, something like the Ark at the end of the season.
Right.
Maybe on the gender if the horse steps up and trip. Like you said, and you said, Sam, that, you know, obviously visually looked impressive to my eye, but what was in behind, I've honestly no idea. But I respect Darren's views on the race, and I'm happy to see where he goes next.
Yeah, really, really exciting performer. 5-2 if you do fancy him for the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot. And just before we move on to look at some of Thursday's action, it's Brigadier Gerard Day, of course, at Sandown. Just a word on Newcastle racecourse this time, Craig. Obviously, we spoke on the podcast last week about the distances being remeasured, perhaps weren't quite tying in nicely with the times. We said last week it's a positive move that they'd taken it on board. The distances have been remeasured, which all seems to have worked out really well and smoothly, which is often a rarity sometimes. They've seen the problem, addressed it, and everything's been fixed and sorted.
Quickly, yeah. Ahead of the second meeting, which is, of course, Thursday night as well. I was planning to go down on Thursday night, Sam, but once I've had a look at the Sandown card, I honestly don't know where I'll be, to be honest. I'm really blown away by the Sandown card on Thursday night. Some really good action to look forward to there. But Newcastle also have a fairly decent card, good two-year-old race. And looking at the older maiden on the card, and the race is filled by Newmarket trainers. So Michael Stout, David Simcock, Mark Johnson's representing the North. Just a fantastic race, and it's good to see the track being supported. And obviously, after the first meeting, you know, I think it got a big thumbs up from jockeys, trainers, owners. It's great to see, and, you know, hopefully that will continue throughout the season. And as when was in on the show on Tuesday, John Babb was saying that the Northumberland Plate this year is going to have the first running of a consolation race with £70,000 in prize money up for grabs.
Not bad for a consolation prize, that.
Well, as a result, the plate has now received 100, and I think it was up to 110 entries yesterday. So obviously got a lot more entries with horses knowing they won't get in, hoping they'll get into the consolation race. But how many staying handicaps for a consolation have a £70,000 prize fund?
No, absolutely.
Fantastic stuff. So you'll see probably a lot of two-mile horses, you know, running in marks on the high 70s over the next week or so, trying to get the penalties just to get into the consolation race this year. Not even the plate, so all good news.
Very good stuff, yeah, incredibly well supported. Just one more bit of news then before we get stuck into the action. At Sandown, Yarmouth are also hoping that they get the go-ahead on Thursday to resume racing. Their first meeting this season scheduled for June, obviously had to abandon last season. So fingers crossed for them that they can get racing underway in June. But we're going to look ahead to the Sandown card now. Thursday evening, four races to take in. And we begin with the 6:35. This is the listed national stakes. Five furlong sprint here, seven runners down to contest it. And a couple of very promising looking individuals go down to post for this one.
Yeah, the draws played a big part in this race in previous renewals, Sam. In the last four or five renewals, the winners come from stalls two or three. You know, on the sprint five furlong course at Sandown, a low draw has had an advantage in the past. But this year, you know, the horses with the best form are drawn in the higher stalls. I think the first one to look at is Mark Johnson's filly, Shupala, who made her debut way back at the end of March at Kempton. You know, knew her job, was quickly away from the gates and just kept powering clear on that occasion. The second Stormy Clouds has proved to be a fairly useful horse, has won on a couple of occasions since then. But the doubt with the horse is, for a two-year-old, she's been off for 61 days. I never think that's a hugely positive sign, particularly for a juvenile to have such a break after her first run. So, because of that, I would have to pass her over, and I've got to go with Richard Hannon, who's won this race for the last two seasons, and his horse here Maymas was very, very impressive at Newbury. Another one that pulled well clear of global applause, who also lines up here. You know, he himself was an impressive winner of a Newmarket Maiden, and he wasn't in the same league as Maymas on that occasion. Looked a really useful two-year-old, and he's the one that should take all the beating in the national stakes.
Okay, Maymas then, Richard Hannan and Frankie Dettori teaming up. With that one, we move ahead to race number three on Sandown's card on Thursday evening. This is the 7.05. The Group 3 Henry II stakes, a two-mile trip for these five runners. We've gone from a sprint to a long-distance event, and a certain WP Mullins has an entry here.
Yeah, I think, you know, our prices at the moment have this race pretty much spot on. Max Dynamite is the 8-11 favourite, and a horse that was very, very impressive when winning the Group 2 Lonsdale Cup at York at the Yeebaw meeting last August. You know, he had a couple of months break after that, and he went across to Australia and finished second in the Melbourne Cup, and he was slightly unlucky in finishing second in that race. He's been off since. He's had a 205-day break, and he sets a really, you know, high standard here. He is the one they all have to beat, and he's correctly priced at 8-11. I think the biggest danger is the improver of Marcus Dragonin's Burmese, who, running in a Group 3 for the first time at Ascot in the Cigarro Stakes, finished a decent fifth, and that was a decent step forward on the form he had shown last year as a three-year-old, and I think he's likely to be the biggest danger, but very short price, but Max Dynamite definitely the one that they all have to beat here.
Max Dynamite, then Willie Mullins and Ryan Moore teaming up with that one. Race number three on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. Seven runners go down for this race at 7.40 on Thursday evening. The feature race on the card in name, although I know you're quite keen on the listed event that we've got after this, but what do you make of this year's renewal of the Brigadier Gerard?
Yeah, a really good renewal. The horse I'm interested in here is Time Test. Mm. He does carry the £5 penalty here for winning the Group 2 at Newmarket last year. But looking back through previous winners, Western Hymn last year carried the £3 penalty for winning a Group 3. Workforce back in 2011 carried the £7 penalty to success for winning a Group 1. So horses carrying a penalty, you know, have overcome that in previous renewals. So I don't think it's, you know, too much to ask for Time Test here. He was withdrawn from a race at the Curragh last weekend because of the soft ground. And conditions should be very much in his favour. He's a high-class horse. For me, last year at Royal Ascot, he, you know, definitely produced the performance of the week in the Tercentenary Stakes. That was an unbelievable performance when he beat Peacock. I was all over him in the Gidmonti after that. Could only finish fourth behind Arabian Queen, but bounced back at Newmarket. I think he's a high-class horse that's going to go on again this year, and I think he'll take plenty of beating here. Interlac is likely to be the short-price favourite. Another horse that remains with lots of potential for Roger Varian. His last run came in Medan, and for that reason, I'm keen to take him on. I don't like horses on the first start back in this country after being out in Medan. Just an angle that has proved profitable to me in the past, and I'll be taking him on. And Western Him, he's had a couple of good chances, hasn't he, at Sandown and Chester, and didn't really put it in on his last two starts. He's a five-year-old, and there's obviously more progressive horses in this lineup. So Roger Charlton's Time Test to carry the £5 penalty to success here.
Time Test, the one for Craig then in the Brigadier Gerard. We go to the final race on today's podcast now, coming up at 8.15. This is the listed Heron Stakes over a mile. Six runners line up for this one, Craig, but you feel that most of the field have either already proved or are hoping to prove that they're better than listed class.
I want to have three bets, yes. Obviously, the odds don't allow that. But it's just one of those races. I mean, Forge, who didn't show a great deal in his only start as a juvenile at Newmarket last year, was very exciting when he demolished the field at Doncaster just over a month ago in a maiden. That was a real good performance, the way he was powering in the closing stages. John Gosden's horse here, Royal Artillery, was one of the most exciting performers last year. You know, won a back-end maiden at Doncaster, beat Wild Hacked, who's Frank Deform this year. He's just an exciting horse to look forward to, but he is by Warfront, and there's been much discussion about Warfront's progeny training on from 2 to 3. So there'll be a lot of eyes on John Gosden's horse tomorrow to see how, you know, he goes in his first start as a three-year-old. But the one I want to be with is Clive Cox's horse, Zonaland. You know, very, very impressed with him on debut at Kempton last year. You know, it was a real good performance, clocked a really good figure. And then he performed reasonably well in two group threes. He probably came a little bit too quick for him as a two-year-old. He always looked the type that would do better at three. He made his reappearance in the 2000 Guineas at Newmarket. He was drawn low, didn't have a great deal to race with in the early stages. And I thought he finished a more than respectable sixth behind Galileo Gold. You know, the winner has gone on to run well in the Irish Guineas. The form looks solid enough. I think he's a horse with a great deal of potential for this season. And that Guineas form, I think, is the most solid on offer. You know, he's proved it in group company at the highest level. So Zonaland definitely the one that I'll be siding with in the Heron Stakes, and probably the most exciting race on the card on Thursday.
Okay, Zonaland then for Craig in the 8-15, the listed Heron Stakes. Just give us a quick recap then, please, of your four selections for the races we've covered at Sandown Park on Thursday night.
Mimas to win the National Stakes at 6.35. The short-priced Maxed Dynamite to win the 7.05 in the 7.40. Time Test for Roger Charlton. And finally, in the 8.15, we're going for Clive Cox's Zonaland.
Good stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth. Thanks for that, Craig, and best of luck on Thursday.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Thursday. It's Natalie Carey, Chris Pimlott and Andrew Mount bringing you coverage of all six meetings on Thursday. Haydock, Chelmsford, Bangor, Sandown, Newcastle and Tipperary. Be sure to join us for all of that, and best of luck with anything that you are backing on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.